This is Sharon, and I'm bringing you the Pantograph for today, which is Wednesday, November 18th, 2020. Local government, McLean County tax bill steady. McLean County property owners will pay the same for county government's share of their tax bill in 2021 as they did this year, based on the county government budget approved by the county board on Tuesday night. The county board, meeting virtually and at the government center, approved the budget for the fiscal year that begins January 1st. We're very pleased that we've been able to have another balanced budget without raising our taxes, County Board Chairman John McIntyre told the Pantograph. He credited county administration and department heads for considering necessary services while holding the line on new expenses and searching for new revenue streams, such as grants. An amendment proposed by board member Chuck Erickson to remove $7,927 from the unappropriated general fund balance to keep the tax rate at 0.91375 per $100 equalized assessed valuation was approved by the board. That means the owner of a $165,000 house, who paid $502.56 for the county's share of their tax bill this year, would pay the same amount next year. County Administrator Camille Rodriguez said the budget of $1,938,629 is balanced. That's an increase of 1% over the 2020 adopted budget. The 2020 amended budget showed revenues of $104,454,382 and expenses of $1,593,640. The budget also calls for a 1% salary increase for county employees in January and another 1% increase in July, Rodriguez said. We felt this method was a way to appreciate our employees, our most valuable resource, during this difficult time, and show appreciation for their hard work while conserving tax dollars, she said. The county has about 820 employees in departments ranging from the sheriff's office to the health and highway department to new mental health services. The county's tax levy will be $36,921,985, an increase of 1.5% because of an increase in the EAV, Rodriguez said. This is a conservative budget that meets the operational needs of the organization, Rodriguez said. We appreciate the cuts that we asked departments to make, reducing supply requests by 4%, and the cooperation they provided to administration lost to Hannah Beer in the March primary. Beer defeated Libertarian David Scarpelli in the November 3rd general election. Kaisley, a Republican from District 4, is retiring after 14 years on the board. Democrat Benjamin Webb defeated Republican Adelia Cruz in the November 3rd general election for Kaisley's seat. New board members will be sworn in at the December 7th board meeting. But one new board member was sworn in on Tuesday night. Lee Klein, a Democrat from District 8, who defeated Republican Jordan Baker on November 3rd for the seat formerly held by Democrat Carlo Robustelli, was sworn in a month early. Robustelli, who did not seek re-election, left the board on September 30th because he moved out of state. Klein will serve the remaining the remainder of Robustelli's term until December 7th, then begins a full term after that. Later during the meeting, board member Elizabeth Johnston read a letter from member Sharon Chung saying that work obligations kept Chung from attending the meeting, but Chung was disappointed that some community leaders were not leading during the COVID pandemic. Her letter didn't name specific leaders, but urged everyone to take personal responsibility in combating COVID. Later, Erickson said that he had tested positive for COVID and quarantined and hoped his recovery would give encouragement to others. In other business, the county board approved a memorandum of understanding between the county and the McLean County Board of Health for additional space for contact tracers to work in the McLean County Health Department building at 200 West Front Street in Bloomington. The health department has hired more contact tracers who interview and advise people who've tested positive for COVID-19 and their close contacts to limit the spread of the virus. The board also okayed a low bid of $598,000 from Western Specialty Contractors of Peoria to replace the roof of the McLean County Museum of History at 200 North Main Street, Bloomington. Crime Stoppers, person wanted for felony charges. Bloomington Crime Stoppers of McLean County needs the public's help in finding a person wanted for felony charges. Irma Louise Garner, 21, is 5'1" tall and weighs 249 pounds. She has black. Her last known address is in Bloomington, Illinois. Garner is wanted for aggravated domestic battery. Crime Stoppers will pay cash rewards of up to $1,000 for information leading to the arrest and indictment of people who commit felony crimes in McLean County. To report this or any other crime to Crime Stoppers, please call 309-828-1111. Today in history. Today is Wednesday, November 18th. It's the 323rd day of 2020. We have 43 days left in this year. Today's highlight. On November 18th, 1978, U.S. Representative Leo J. Ryan, a Democrat of California, and four others were killed in Jonestown by members of the People's Temple. The killings were followed by a night of mass murder and suicide by more than 900 cult members. On this date in 1883, the United States and Canada adopted a system of standard time zones. In 1916, the World War I Battle of the Somme, pitting British and French forces against German troops, ended inconclusively after 4.5 months of bloodshed. And on this date in 1928, Walt Disney's first sound-synchronized animated cartoon, Steamboat Willie, starring Mickey Mouse, premiered in New York. And how time flies locally from the back pages of the Pantograph. 100 years ago today, November 18th, 1920. We now have the schedules for the two new passenger trains to be added by the Illinois Central. The northbound train will depart the Front Street Depot at 5:15 p.m. The southbound will leave at 2:38 p.m. These trains will run between Clinton and Freeport. 75 years ago today, November 18th, 1945, Kansas City police are still trying to identify the man shot and killed by their officers. Two policemen were wounded in the exchange. So far, they know that he worked for a short time on his sister's farm near Bloomington. They have a photo, but no name. 50 years ago, November 18, 1970, 5 Penn Central, formerly Peoria and Eastern, locomotives derailed at a grain elevator a couple of miles southeast of Leroy. The result was a 7-car pileup of boxcars. 2 of them were loaded, one with potash, the other with liquor. Authorities are investigating. And 25 years ago today, November 18, 1995, the Peoria Diocese has approved use of the controversial morning-after birth control pill for rape victims at church-owned hospitals. At St. Joseph Medical Center here, officials will consider use of the drug, but first, the Ethics Committee must take up the issue. Groups to give away 100 turkeys and health information at Thankful Thursday. With just over a week before Thanksgiving, several local groups are partnering together for an event Thursday to help local residents meet health and basic needs. The Family Community Resource Center and Meridian Health are teaming up with the NAACP and the Mount Pisgah Baptist Church for a Thankful Thursday event from 1 to 3 p.m. Thursday at the church parking lot. The purpose of this event is to remind our community that resources are still available and the importance of getting flu vaccines and completing preventative health measures, said Jennifer Biddle, Community Relations Coordinator with Meridian Health. This will be a drive-through event, and attendees are to remain in their vehicles. Attendees and staff for the event are required to wear masks. This is our first time in doing this, but we hope to make it an annual event, said Belinda Kennedy, CEO of the Bloomington-based Family Community Resource Center. We have the opportunity to work with these wonderful organizations and to help some families out. The purpose of this event is to remind our community that resources are still available and the importance of getting flu vaccines and completing preventative health measures, Biddle said. Kennedy said 100 turkeys will be given away Thursday. The event will include information from local community resources, and Walmart will be providing flu vaccinations. We're trying to help out, especially this year with everything that's going on, Kennedy said. Meridian Health is sponsoring the turkeys, but this is also as much of a resource fair. We will have our community partners there, handing out information about community resources, which are very necessary, especially now. There's a great need to let people know that there is help out there for families that need help, especially with the holiday season coming and COVID creating issues. The Family Community Resource Center works with families in McLean County, Kennedy said. We're working with families that are operating in crisis mode or families that need help in meeting their basic needs, she added. We work with everyone. This event is to let people know that there is help available for those who need it. The center works with families in the child welfare system and with parents to provide a healthy home for their children, Kennedy said. We do basic resource referral where anyone in the community that needs assistance with their electric bill, for instance, we can point them in the right direction to organizations or churches that can give them that assistance, she added. We also do domestic violence education. A lot of people don't understand that it is child abuse as well. We educate and let people know the consequences and what can happen for people who stay in those relationships. Whoever comes through our door, we want to be able to give them some type of help and support. Heartland tax rate likely to drop slightly. Taxpayers will get a slightly lower property tax bill from the Heartland Community College District next year, under the levy approved by the board Tuesday night. Assuming the assessed value of their property did not change, the owner of a house with an assessed value of $165,000 would pay about $953 next year, a decrease of about $4.29 from this year's bill, according to Heartland officials. The board approved a tax levy of just under $16.7 million Tuesday night. The total tax rate is estimated to be nearly 58 cents per $100 assessed valuation, a decrease of less than a half cent from the 2019 rate. The exact rate will be known after property assessments are completed next year. The estimated rate is based on the assumption that the district's equalized assessed valuation, or EAV, will increase about 2.5%. The board also approved its updated facilities master plan. The Illinois Community College Board requires institutions to update their master plans every 5 years. Jim Hubbard, director of facilities and science labs, and a combination of enrollment, student services, and student life. President Keith Cornile said the college is still recovering from the cyber attack that hit the college over a month ago. Sarah Deal Hunt, vice president of enrollment and student services, said spring enrollment started 15 days later than usual because of the impact of the cyber attack. "We are playing catch-up," she said. ISU teacher Crumpler to run for Ward 9 alderman. Thomas Crumpler, a longtime Bloomington resident, announced Tuesday he will run for the Ward 9 seat in the April 2021 municipal election. Mike Straza, a local entrepreneur and longtime Bloomington resident, filed his nominating petition Monday to run for mayor in the April 2021 municipal election. Crumpler, an Illinois State University professor, announced his candidacy in a Tuesday news release. "After talking to voters, it's clear people in our ward want a city with a healthy infrastructure, fiscal responsibility, and continued revitalization of our downtown," Crumpler said in the College of Education at ISU. He's collaborated with Bloomington District 87, Unit 5, Pekin District 108, Peoria District 150, and others in Central Illinois. Alderperson Kim Bray, who was sworn into office in 2017, currently holds the Ward 9 seat. The municipal election will be held on April 6, 2021. Straza, in a news release, said he collected 1,100 signatures to place PA suspending his campaign for Ward 5 alderman. The announcement came after Mayor Terry Renner announced he would not run for re-election. The municipal election will be held on April 6, 2021. Democrat Layman ousts Beard on county board. Democratic challenger Val Layman upset Republican incumbent Jacob Beard in a tight race for the McLean County Board District 7 seat. A canvass on Tuesday afternoon determined results of the race. Layman received 4,065 votes. Beard received 4,057 votes. And Libertarian Darren George Cabe received 352 votes, said Bloomington Election Commission Executive Director Tim Mitchell. While the election was November 3rd, the race was too close to call until Tuesday. As of November 4th, Beard was leading Layman by just 11 votes, 4,053 to 4,042, with 350 for Cabe. Election night results are always unofficial. But the Beard-Lehman race was so close that Mitchell couldn't announce the results until Tuesday after the canvass because mail-in ballots postmarked by November 3rd by state law had to be accepted provided they arrived by Tuesday. 29 additional ballots came in for District 7, with 23 for Lehman, 4 for Beard, and 2 for Cabe, meaning Lehman won by 8 votes, Beard said. I knew this was going to be a close race, especially with 3 candidates in a competitive district, Beard said. While I am disappointed with the numbers that came in today, I am grateful for the incredible voter turnout and that all of the candidates ran a positive race. I am going to take a wild ride this has been. I am delighted to have the opportunity to represent District 7. It certainly was a close and hard-fought race. I am so grateful to residents of District 7 who braved a barrage of challenges this year to have their voices heard. I also want to celebrate our passionate and hard-working volunteers who committed so many hours and days and weeks and months to our campaign. You all are incredible. I would like to thank and congratulate Jacob Beard and Darren George Cabe for running respectful and informed races, Lehman continued. I look forward to having the opportunity to engage and interact with each, ensuring all voices are truly heard. It's time to get to work. If Lehman's victory stands, when new county board members are seated in December, there will be 11 Republican members and 9 Democratic members. The current makeup of the board is 13 Republicans and 7 Democrats. District 7 covers part of the east side of Bloomington. The Illinois State Board of Elections will certify results from local election officials on December 4th. COVID tax hit less than thought. The revenue picture for Normal is showing some improvements, but there are still concerns as COVID factors continue to hammer municipal budgets. Normal officials in May projected the possibility of a $10.4 million drop in general revenue, the result of less money coming in through sales tax and other streams. That number now sits at a projected $3.6 million decline tied to COVID based on several factors. Major tax revenue streams are performing better than predicted. Other revenue streams are trending up, including a rate increase in local motor fuel tax. The town received $2.2 million through the state's local coronavirus urgent remediation emergency support program. We are projecting some recovery for next year, but we're not getting back $0.5 million estimated revenue increase due to a rate hike in the motor fuel tax rate, building and plan permits, and use tax. The town also received $2.2 million in funding through the state's local cure support program, a local government assistance program federally funded by the Coronavirus Relief Fund using state allocated dollars through the CARES Act. The program reimburses local governments for costs related to expenditures incurred due to the pandemic between March 1st and December 30th. In total, the town is preparing for a $3.6 million drop in revenues. The town has saved an estimated $8.6 million through significant expenditure cuts since May. This reflects $3 million saved in reduced or eliminated transfers out of the general fund. The town also retained $1 million of a contractual agreement with Rivian. In May, Rivian declined a $1 million grant offered as part of the 2016 economic incentive agreement between the town and Rivian. Included in this agreement was an additional property tax abatement, which the town council approved during its May 5th meeting. We're still going to show growth in our overall revenue, but we have to reduce our baseline to a new pattern, and that could be problematic for the current year and next year's budget. I'll take a short break now and then return with the second half of the Pantograph for November 18th, 2020. Please stay tuned.